Hey everybody, Anthony here. Before we get going, I want to send some positive vibes, some prayers out to the James family. Obviously, by the time you guys are listening to this, you will all know what Bronny went through. It sounds like he is in stable condition, or reports are that he is in stable conditioning after suffering cardiac arrest at a practice and collapsing. This is a all-too-real story in my household, as I have been dealing with a heart problem my entire life. Never suffered anything like this, a couple of, like, palpitations and irregular heartbeats and stuff. But, talking to my mom after I was kind of done playing sports, she always said that she was always really kind of holding her breath because this just was always playing. The storyline was always just kind of playing in the back of her mind or in her worst nightmares. So, you know, for me now being a father and having, you know, experienced heart stuff my entire life to this point, I know about all of this all too well. So to Bronny, best wishes, safe and speedy recovery. To the rest of the James family, prayers and support as all of you deal with this, it's just this seems to have been one of the better outcomes or the best outcome to this point, and we'll see how he recovers and all of that stuff. But for right now, I'm happy to hear that he is in stable condition and ready to move forward. And, you know, great work from the USC medical team there on hand. I think one thing that we should really seriously consider in this country is having those AEDs available on hand at all schools and all of that to be able to have as quick a resuscitation as necessary. And fortunately, that seems to have been the case. This was the case here in Bronny's case, and you never know, the might have saved his life. So glad he's better. All the best to the entire James family. And now we segue awkwardly to the show.
Joined by Harrison Fagan, who struck out on Barbieheimer weekend. That is a thing that happened. I did not know that somebody could strike out on movie theater.
He always seems to get involved.
But you managed to do it twice in a weekend. That's impressive, dude. Right on top of the spot. Is that your L for the last couple weeks?
I mean, it's definitely the most times in one weekend that I have failed to see a movie. I've failed to see movies before, but on busy opening weekends, whatever. But definitely the first time it has happened twice.
That is wild. That is
Barbie because of demand, Oppenheimer because I had plans canceled, and I couldn't refund just like one of the tickets. I had to refund like the group that we all bought it together, so I ended up missing it. But I'm gonna see both of them.
Yeah, I didn't try to go see either of them because I have children, but tonight I think once the kids go down I guess it'd be yesterday by the time you guys are listening to this. Well, I'll throw this up on YouTube quickly enough that I can preview this, but I'm supposed to do Locked On Lakers tonight, which is going to be super weird. Super weird.
They're reversing your ban?
I guess, yeah.
I thought you were banned from the show.
I'm supposed to do it like a few days this week. I think Brian is out. Andy asked me if I could pop in, so I'm going to do that. But did you ever...
Yeah, see, Andy definitely likes us better than Brian, because he's the one I always get the invite from when Brian... Like, Brian's like, nah, I have better guests lined up for when Andy...
And he does. Like, from when they did their late night happy hour stuff, they were getting some great guests, but...
Yeah, I guess that was all Brian. Andy just, I guess, is not friends with anyone. I don't know. Like, he's just...
When you were a kid, did you ever... did you ever go see a house that you moved out of after, like, you know, you lived there a while?
Like, go inside of it? Or just, like, from the outside?
Either.
Well, so I only lived in two houses growing up. So we lived in a condo for, you know, until I was like 10-ish, and then we moved to like the house where my parents still live. So not really, but we have driven by the old condo a number of times, and it's funny to see that they, I don't even think they've repainted it or anything in the years since then. It's like it's the same landlord, clearly, you know, like you know, everything is intact. It's the Fagan original.
Maybe they kept it like a museum. It's like Harrison Fagan lived here.
Yeah, it's a historical landmark. They're like, you know, this human giraffe hybrid lived here, and you know, Corona Del Mar has declared it a historical site.
So when I was a kid, we lived in a condo, and then we moved into the house that my parents now live in too. And for some reason, the people who moved into our house let us into the house after we lived in this condominium complex that like a bunch of our old friends still lived in. So we just like happened to be at a block party there, and the people who were living in our old house were at the block party, and they asked us like, do you want to come in and see what we've done with the house? And we did. And I remember my room was generally pretty plain, so like posters here and there that I took with me in the move and stuff. I remember I walked in, and obviously I grew up in a boys' room. Explosion of pink was like, whoa!
This is where it's going. Okay. I was wondering all this tied back.
This is so weird. Like, this is like, I was like, whoa. Like, and then, so I've seen all of the press for Barbie over the weekend. It just like threw me back to that. And also like, because I'm going to go
on. It already feminized your room before it even came out. That's how powerful this movie was.
it was planting. Well, the seeds have been planted. Did you read the thing that like, I guess Mattel is like, They're pitching movies with all of their old toys, and like they're moving away from being a toy company. They're going to be a movie IP company now.
That's where all the money is now, Anthony. Haven't you heard? Yeah. Like all the money's in IP. That's the only movies that can make money anymore.
Yeah. But anyway, I picture going on Locked On Lakers today, walking into my old room, and Andy has just thrown up all kinds of pink stuff all throughout my my old show. But I'm looking forward to it.
Big fan of pink. That's what they say about him, you know.
Today on the show, we are. You know, when I see Andy, I think Ken doll. You know, it's just right there, same hair and everything. Today on the show we're going to talk about Jaylen Brown and the extension that he got. It's a lot of money for Jaylen Brown, a lot of Jaylen Brown. So I'm going to mock the Celtics a little bit, and then we're going to use that to discuss Anthony Davis's potential extension that he is eligible to sign, I believe, in like a week or so, as we are recording now. He can sign it in like August is when he can start getting ready to do that.
He actually, I believe, is eligible right now. According to Yossi over at Yossi Gozlan? Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce
Gozlan.
His last?
Gozlan,
yeah. I think, because I know you've had him on the show. According to him, July 2023 until the day before the start of the regular season, AD is eligible for three years, $170 million, approximately.
So we're going to discuss that. And then, look, we are in the middle of the off season where there is very little to talk about. But I do find, like, you and I have lots of discussions about all kinds of stuff. And if people want to check out, they can check out. If you want to stick around, you can stick around. But Harrison and I are going to talk about kind of the state of comic book content and large IP content, as we just saw this giant success that Barbie had over the weekend compared to some of the flops that we've seen from comic book stuff. And we'll discuss that. So interesting, weird show that is very much a July 25th show. Anyway, let's talk about Jaylen Brown. So is it 5 years, $304 million is the number that he got from Boston. It took a long time to get there. And I kind of wondered if this was kind of the inflection point, if Jaylen might be the inflection point where guys don't just get the max that they are due. And we've seen teams in the past make that decision not to give that extension and instead trade a player because the number was too high. But I kind of wondered if this was going to be the first signing that, you know, where the player re-signs with the team that he signs for, but not at the full max, just because he is eligible at that max number. Turns out that is not how this played out. He does get that full max number. I don't know if he's ever going to play under that extension for the Boston Celtics. I think he'll play out this year, and I think there'll be a lot of trade talks surrounding him throughout this year for a variety of reasons. But my first and all right, well,
two, I mean, he's been two, in trade talks his whole Celtics tenure. Why change that now? You know, just like
there's that. There's a lot going on here. One, I think it's really cool that Jalen gets this amount of money, right? Like, that's the thing that you have to get out of the way, and you have to congratulate him on the success and blah, 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 blah. So, way to go, Jalen.
Secondly, you sound really hyped about it. You're like, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know
blah,
why we have to congratulate people about this. Like, we live in a weird time where we have to, like, root for these guys to become way richer than we'll ever be. But anyway,
I love it when people become part of the 1%. Personally, I think it's great.
It's the weirdest thing. I saw all kinds of people like, if anybody criticized the contract, it's like, oh, you just hate that he's rich. It's like,
Boston's, I mean, good for him. He's marketable still. That's how the world works. Like, yeah. His ability to dribble with one hand has earned him more than Barbie and Oppenheimer made in their opening weekend combined.
So I think that, like, my basketball takeaway from this is that, like, good, Boston is worse now. Like, so long as he's on their roster, Boston is going to be worse, because it's a very simple, and it's probably an oversimplification. I'm very good at those, but generally speaking, in a capped sport, where individual earnings themselves are capped, if you're going to have a player on your contract or on your books who makes more than every other player in the NBA, but isn't the best player in the NBA, you are going to be hamstrung to a certain extent, right? Jaylen Brown isn't Giannis. He's not Jokic. He's not like is Jaylen Brown a top 10 player?
Probably not. No.
The fact that we don't know.
Scratch probably. No, he's not. Yeah.
So, like,
I was being too nice.
For me, like the Laker fan, I'm like,
he basically made the all NBA team. Not, you know, again, this is not to diminish his achievement. It's sort of incredible, you know, what he's done going from like the player he was at Berkeley to the player he is now is sort of astounding and, you know, a real testament to sort of his hard work and growth and all of that. But yeah, I mean, he basically, reporters kind of got like bullied into voting him onto the all NBA team because it mattered for him money wise.
Yeah, Aaron is literally calling me right now. Should I take it?
Get on the air? Yeah, just tell him you're on.
Yeah. I'm confused by your question. Hey, buddy, I'm literally recording with Harrison right now. Okay. Do you want to say
you're live? What's up, Aaron?
Hello, Harrison.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing?
This is great audio. I can barely hear him, so I know the audience.
There, I think you should hear him now. I turned it way up on my phone.
Okay.
I guess this is a good time to tell you guys I'm flying back in like a month. So are we all getting together? Aaron, Benihana at your place?
Benihana at Aaron's place.
A real Benihana though? Not that bullshit you try to add to Benihana.
All right. Well, Aaron, you called me because I was asking about AD's contract, and we figured out the number that he can sign this year or this month. He can start signing it all the way up until the beginning of the season.
From August 4th until the beginning of the regular season, he can sign the extension. That is correct. The reason I'm calling you is because I was confused by your question. You said, what is the max he can get this year? But obviously the extension would not impact this year's contract nor next year's contract, which he would have to opt into as a condition of getting the extension. He has an ETO, early termination option, for next season, which he would not be able to exercise. So he would have to opt into next year's contract and then also get, I think it's three for 167, I believe. So it would be, if he signs that extension, it would basically be the Lakers would have him for the next 5 years, including this upcoming season. So from 23, 24, and then that would be the first of eight, what ends up being 5 years of him with the Lakers.
Aaron, would you give him
167? He just confirmed the Lakers are offering less than the max.
Max he can get this year, like it would change. It does not change.
No, it doesn't.
This year's contract. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you give him that contract?
Absolutely.
Oh, I was hoping you would like say that it was cutting out. The connection was cutting out. Like. Oh, it looks like I lost you. I can't believe it's even a discussion. But anyway, that's what Harrison and I are going to discuss.
Where would you put Anthony Davis? Like, I don't care if you have him 5th or 7th or 10th or 12th or 14th or whatever on the best player in the NBA list. Like, those dudes get max money. Why wouldn't you give him max money?
I mean, Jaylen Brown just got it, so yeah.
Yeah, Harrison is saying Jaylen Brown just got max money. And it's like...
Yeah, Jaylen Brown just got $304 million. is better at basketball than Jaylen Brown.
So Jaylen Brown will never be as good at basketball as Anthony Davis is right now. Can go ahead and predict that one.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I mean, is Jaylen Brown any... And look, that's a California Golden Bear, so, you know, I'm rooting for Jaylen.
I was going to say, Aaron's going to defend his guy.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to his 1 year as a California Golden Bear, where I believe he had 6 turnovers in his one tournament game for Cal when they were the 4 seed and lost.
I think he shot like 6 for 30 from the field or something. Like,
and I think three of those six turnovers were offensive fouls. So, but despite that,
it was a good preview of what he would do in the playoffs. Like when he got to the NBA,
he activated playoff mode in the tournament.
Is my boy gonna actually like learn how to dribble in an NBA game? What I'm asking.
Yeah. That's usually the kind of question I want to ask as I'm handing the guy a $304 million contract. Hey, can you learn to dribble? It's kind of like the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's like, Andrew Wiggins, can you care about basketball? Try, maybe?
It's like, I promise.
Not until he joined the Warriors.
All right, Aaron, I'm going to get back to the show.
All right, fellas. Harrison, I still don't hear you, but nice to talk to you if you were speaking also. But I can't hear you. Love you both. Enjoy the show. And, yeah.
See you in a month.
Anthony Davis gets all his money and Benihana in a month.
All right.
Later.
That went well.
We're going to get so many complaints about the audio quality of that segment. I promise you. You need to listen back to it for sure.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. All right. So the central point of that and the reason that Aaron called in the first place was the number that AD can sign at, which is 3 years, $167 million, which...
Yossi said approximately 170. So I don't know. I took that the Lakers are offering less than the max. That's the headline that I'm running with at SSR.
that's when Aaron Lakers does do like the sorry, we got to. Yeah. Can't.
No, I'm telling you, the Lakers. They said they're like Anthony Davis. You are worth $3 million less than the max. Okay, we are holding steady at 167. All right. No, yeah. We will not go to 170. Okay, that is there's a veterans minimum contract that we can squeeze into that space, and we need to save that for when we have to sign a buyout guy. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I
not even because it's a multi-year deal. So it's like
yeah, it'd be it's one. Like, one yeah, it's a buyout guy each year of the contract. Of the,
yeah, yeah, it's one a buyout
prorated
guy
minimum.
Prorated minimum. Like, AD, you want us to sign a Wash center at midseason or not? It's 167, okay?
We could sign Andre Drummond 3 different times,
Do you
times,
want
Anthony.
Tristan Thompson on the last day of the regular season every year?
So I want to, like, let's go back to Jaylen, though. And, you know, the point that Aaron was making, the point that we have made at this point, is about Jaylen the basketball player, who I think, by the way, is like, I think he's overslotted as the second best player on Boston's team. And although he thinks he's underslotted, he thinks he should be the best player on a team, which good luck, Atlanta.
I mean, like, Jeremy Grant thought that he should be the best player on the team. So this is not an uncommon view among NBA
players. All NBA players have that kind of confidence.
You don't make it to that level without thinking that you can sort of get to that, you know, next
I don't know
tier.
If you listened to Dion Waiters. He did a show with, or he did an appearance on Dan Le Batard's podcast, and he talked about, like, his confidence level, right? And he was like, for him, he was like, look, man, my mom got shot. My dad got shot. I think one of his grandparents got shot. And he's just like, you have to be super confident in basketball when that's going on in your life. And I'm not saying that that's what every player develops their confidence from. But, like, he went on to, like, you know, they were talking about Kevin Durant. And they were like, it's got to be maddening to guard Kevin Durant, because no matter what you do, KD is going to get a clean shot off, and you have to hope he misses. And he's like, yeah, but that's how players have to feel when they're guarding me. It's like, that's Dion Waiters saying that at the situation that he's playing in right now. Whereas, you know, Jaylen Brown, I would imagine, and look, like, I mean, this is the man
who also once said, even when I was fat, I was still getting buckets. So, you know, Dion Waiters has never lacked for confidence. I have that screen grab of that quote graphic on my phone in my folder. Like, I use that sometimes.
He repeated the line. He was saying that, like, he reused the line when he was on Le Batard's show. But Jaylen Brown, though.
Jaylen Brown's like, even when I was one-handed, I was still getting buckets, you know?
Yeah. But, like, Jaylen, all right, so when I say there's a lot going on here, it's on basketball and it's not basketball, right? Because he says that, like, he doesn't always feel comfortable in Boston, and that, like, there's a bunch of racial stuff that goes on there, or racist stuff that goes on there that he doesn't particularly so you have that as an aspect of this conversation. He is, to your point earlier, sick of the trade rumors that always surrounds him, that, like, anytime any player becomes available that the Celtics might have any interest in, it's his name that gets thrown in there. Right.
I would imagine it's not even just that, but it's every single time it happens, there are reports that Jason Tatum is recruiting the guy.
Yeah, there's also that. Does anyone think
arguing harder your point that Jaylen is underqualified as a number two option on a title contender? Nobody believes that more than Jason Tatum. Oh man, Jason Tatum, you know, a lot of connections with Bradley Beal. Jason Tatum, he's been recruiting KD. Jason Tatum, you know, this summer he's recruiting Dame. He's like, guys, I need someone else to dribble besides me in crunch time, and it can't be Jaylen.
Do you think Jaylen sits there with, like, his friends and family and just, like, waiting for the situation where Jason's name is actually the one that they're, like, lobbing out there to bring him some help? He's just sitting there like, all right, KD's available, send Jason.
I'm frankly surprised we didn't get Jaylen Brown is recruiting Kyrie back in a sign and trade for Jason Tatum or something headline this summer.
I believe they see eye to eye on some stuff, like that, but yeah,
I believe so.
I get why NBA players are that kind of confident. You have to be that kind of confident to succeed in that world where it is very much zero sum and it is very much cutthroat. And it's zero sum sometimes within your own, on your own team, right? Like, Jaylen gets this contract. Jason's going to be ready for his soon, I would imagine. And, you know, is Jaylen going to be on the team when Jason is eligible or gets that next contract? I think that's very much in doubt. I'd be surprised if he was.
Jason is actually extension eligible as well this offseason. He's extension eligible
for $305 million?
No, 2 years, $98 million. Don't think he's going to be taking that one. It's unlikely. He is eligible for the 5 years, 304 next summer. So, you know, we'll be, it's going to be so funny when his gets done on the first day of free agency. There's like no, there's no leaks about, oh, they're going back and forth, they're doing this and that, whatever. His is going to get done the first day of free agency, and then Jalen's going to demand a trade. That's how I'm predicting next offseason plays out. Jason also will get, Jason also gets a player option on the final year, and somehow a bigger trade kicker. I don't even know if that's legal. I don't think it is, but somehow they work it in there.
I remember, I forget which two players it was. I think Kobe was one of them, and or another player, probably at his position, but one player got their contract, and then the next player negotiated a contract that was $1 more. Or it just happened also in baseball, where Mike Trout...
I remember Kevin Garnett did this where he wanted to surpass Alex Rodriguez as, like, the highest-paid athlete in professional sports. And so he did, like... I think it was $1 million more on his, you know, multi-year contract, you know, than Rodriguez had just gotten or something like that back in the day.
Yeah, Mike Trout also... Yeah, so... He also, like, specifically asked for, like, $100 million more than Bryce Harper got. Like, he was just...
I mean, fair ask.
Yeah, I mean, you look at... although, I think Trout's had some injury issues since.
Yeah, so yeah, that's true.
Neither of those have gone very well.
Yeah.
Still, Dodgers, go trade for Ohtani, please. Just, like, give me this one. Please. Anyway. What do you think, though, about, like, Boston getting worse, though? Like, do you think...
I don't think they're worse. I mean, they may have gotten worse. They didn't get worse this offseason through this extension, obviously.
Like, yeah, right.
It's the same player, same money, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they maybe got worse this offseason through the other transactions that they made, and that will, you know, remain to be seen. And, you know, all of the other questions about them, like, to me, those have not gone away because of any of this. I think that long-term, you know, which I assume is what you're implying, I think long-term this does, it's impossible to argue the other way, that it doesn't put them in a worse position as far as roster building. And I hate... The thing that I hate most about this new CBA is that it has forced us to make this point because, you know, previously it's just like, well, ownership, just spend, you know, like just spend. It doesn't matter. Sign the good player, sign them for the maximum amount of money. They've earned it. Their salaries are artificially capped at a certain amount, you know, like especially for these contracts. I think maybe the best point that you're making is as far as Jalen is these supermax contracts, they're either the best deal that you can make in sports because that player would be getting so much more if it was an actual uncapped, you know, free market where teams could just throw in their biggest bid and there was not like an artificial, you know, kind of ceiling on what these guys could get. Your prime LeBron, your Giannis's, your even Jason Tatum when he's going to be coming up for this, you know, all these guys, that's the best value contract in sports when you're giving it to one of these guys that's like a top five player in the NBA. But when you're giving it to a guy who is not that, it is artificially constraining, especially under this new CBA, which has put in actual basketball reasons to not spend money. And so now it forces, you know, blog boys like us to sit here and actually pocket watch on these guys because, you know, we're sitting here, like when the Lakers make this deal with AD, it's going to make it harder for them to continue to build around AD and in whatever sort of form that, you know, that extension takes. I'm not saying that they shouldn't give him that extension. They absolutely should because, you know, that's just what you do. And
do you think they will keep?
I think they will. Yeah. I think they will. I didn't when the offseason started. There was like some, like I remember McMenamin was sort of saying, you know, originally that they might wait and this is sort of like a prove it year for AD type of thing. And then his tenor even sort of changed when he was on the low post. So like he expected, and you know, I sort of trust him. He's really well plugged in
especially
like
with both
camps there. Yeah. And so I do think it will get done. I think it's the right decision for the Lakers, even if there are obviously concerns, you know, long term about paying AD that much money, you know, into his mid 30s. But I think you sort of have to do it just because, you know, do you really want to waste more of the season having this guy be like feel like he's, you know, playing for a contract or arguing with you or like you don't have his back or whatever? You know, is he going to come back quicker from injuries if, you know, he's not locked up under a long-term deal? You know, I certainly don't think so. If I was his representation, I would not advise him to do that, you know, especially given his sort of long-term injury concern. So I think it'll get done. But, you know, extension, taking it back to the point, extensions like these, they do now under this new sort of super tax, second lead apron, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, you start getting knocked back draft picks. You start getting, you know, I don't care about the owners getting having to pay more money, whatever. That's not my concern. But losing draft picks, getting draft picks knocked back, having, you know, sort of your options hamstrung, the inability to make trades, the inability to sign buyout guys, aggregate salary, not inability to make trades, but harder to make trades, you know, with matching salaries and all of that stuff. You know, it does create a basketball argument to be like, hey, you know, this is good. Having good players on your team is good. And so, you know, even if you have to overpay a little bit, or and not even overpay in most of these cases, these guys would get this contract from another team. It's just it does create very real constraints for you now.
Yeah, it's why I thought
that it didn't before. Before, it created optional constraints that you could then criticize the team owners for choosing to, like, you know, hey, they're choosing not to spend money. This is their choice. Now there are actual – this is the smartest thing the owners did in the new CBA, is that there are actual basketball arguments to not do this, and so they can hide their cheapness under the auspices of real basketball consequences.
It's why I thought Jalen would be the first one who would get less than the full max that he could get and remain on the team.
I don't think he would have signed.
Maybe not, but, you know, still, like, even if he doesn't sign, like, even if Boston doesn't offer the full $304 million, and maybe that's why this took so long, by the way, like, he and his camp just didn't blink and he said, no, I'm just not going to sign if not for this, trade me if not. And they said, well, fine. We'll keep you on the books at that number.
It took quite a while. So, the only win Boston was able to get was not having a player option in there.
Yeah, and in talking to some people at Summer League, there was like legitimate conversation about how this would all play out. And, you know, there were a few camps on it, I would say. Like, there were some people that I spoke to who said this will probably still wind up getting done, and there's no rush on this kind of thing. And, you know, there's vacations and stuff like that, that, like, it maybe explain why this was taking a little longer than usual. But the most people that I spoke to, I would probably say the vast majority of people that I spoke to said, like, yeah, there's legitimate negotiating going on here. The reason that is noteworthy is because, like, historically with your best or even second best player on your team, if they're max eligible, it's always just like, no negotiation necessary. Here's the contract. You can sign it. Go enjoy your offseason. Everybody just kind of moves on. And
yeah, we're all going to pop bottles and like of champagne and celebrate this. And, you know, we're all happy to continue to working together. You know, that's normally how these contracts go.
Right. And that is to say that, like, that isn't still kind of the case here with Boston. Like, I would imagine that there are plenty of people within the
Celtics. You think Jalen's flying in to have dinner with Brad Stevens to celebrate this?
I can't even fathom them eating at the same restaurant. Like, I see Brad Stevens as, like, strictly Chick-fil-A. Like, it's like all he eats. Brad is Stevens, Chick-fil-A.
Like, Brad Stevens seems like big Applebee's guy. You know, he like a Denny's, like
IHOP.
Yeah,
I hoop.
Like, yeah,
yeah. This was an interesting one, and like, you know, anytime I've criticized the CBA, the pushback has always been, well, there are things that the players got also, but in no way am I saying that, like, the CBA was just the owners winning, but the fact that this is now a negotiation at the top of the sport, and you have people like Austin Rivers saying the people in the middle of the sport are getting squeezed, which is also therefore going to squeeze people at the bottom of the sport, because there's going to be the middle type of player who is going to be fighting for the minimum contracts on good teams that now aren't going to go to a certain kind of player. Like,
yeah.
The CBA, you know,
I think the middle class that existed between the mid-level and, you know, the max contract, like, a lot of those are just going to be gone. And so I think that this CBA, like, I think there's going to be a lockout in a couple of years when the players kind of see when the middle class sees the consequences of this CBA, and that it has sort of allowed owners to be like, hey, yeah, like, you know, hey, all we can offer you, Christian Wood, is the minimum.
Yeah.
Because we have these tax constraints and we have all this other stuff going on.
I really laughed at, again, Vegas is such a unique situation because normally I just stick to my bubble here in Texas and I cover the Lakers the way that I do. And there are a few people that I text around the league and there's enough, like I have enough of a net that I can just kind of like get by and be fairly well informed on what's going on and be able to purvey it to you guys. But in Vegas, it is very different. In Vegas, it doesn't matter almost where you are, especially if you stay at the right kind of hotel, you are going to bump into people. You are going to sit next to people in the gym. You are going to bump into people at the bar there, like right outside the main entrance.
You went to the gym?
Oh, yeah. It like a few times, actually. Yeah. I was working hard, Harrison.
Look at you.
I would have recorded except for that stupid EDM music, which people barely did.
Oh, you meant like where they're playing the games.
Yeah, no. You had me go to the gym?
I thought you were claiming.
I don't even know if my hotel had a gym.
You ran into Brad Stevens on the Stairmaster, you know?
I saw him at IHOP.
He was yelling at Jalen, you're not getting a player option while walking upstairs.
Yeah, but yeah, when you're there at the gym, you know, you're able to have conversations with people or be parts of conversations that like you wouldn't normally be parts of.
Yeah, no, for sure.
My favorite tool that like gets added to the toolbox over years is having a conversation with like, you know, most conversations with like multiple people, right? Everybody kind of like circles off and then you have another conversation over there that's kind of circled off and whatever. And it's always kind of funny to see like if there just happens to be enough actually NBA important people having that kind of conversation, all of the circled off conversations around them are held at like muted levels so that people could kind of sort of like listen in to what's going on over here, you know? I remember I'm not going to say who I overheard saying this or whatever, but I do, you know, as part of having a conversation over here with some Celtics people, we were all listening into this conversation over there with actual Celtics people who like a Celtics game, I believe it just ended. And I'm kind of listening in and it's like, yeah, Jalen's pissed. Jalen wanted everything. I remember hearing that and everybody in my conversation just like stopped talking. He's like, guys, we actually have to make it look like we're talking.
How about
Peyton Pritchard, everybody? What does everybody think about it?
It's like everyone's been saying, you know, it's totally normal that these extension negotiations take multiple weeks, that a player goes on vacation in the middle of them without getting their extension. That happens all the time.
Always.
And then, yeah.